So tonight's study is on James 3, verses 13 to 18. The title of our study tonight is called Heavenly versus Demonic Wisdom. It could also be titled Wisdom from Above and Wisdom that is not from above. But before we ask God's blessing on our time together, I thought maybe we'd actually begin with God's Word that we're going to be looking at together. So start by turning in your Bibles to James chapter 3. We're going to be starting at verse 13, reading until verse 18. So James chapter 3, starting at verse 13 until verse 18. Who is wise and understanding among you? By his good conduct, let him show his works in the meekness of wisdom. But if you have bitter jealousy and selfish ambition in your hearts, do not boast and be false to the truth. This is not the wisdom that comes down from above, but is earthly, unspiritual, demonic. For where jealousy and selfish ambition exist, there will be disorder and every vile practice. But the wisdom from above is first pure, then peaceable, gentle, open to reason, full of mercy and good fruits, impartial and sincere. And a harvest of righteousness is sown in peace by those who make peace. Let's pray. Father, thank you for your word. And we are blessed, Lord. We are blessed because we have your word. And we are blessed because our sins have been covered by the blood of Jesus. And we have this hope and promises, Lord, from your word that indeed we will have a harvest of righteousness in our hearts, in our walk with you, Lord. And eternity with you. And Father, as your Holy Spirit attests, we need your word. We need to be convicted, corrected, and trained in righteousness. So that's what we pray, Lord, for ourselves and for each other tonight. And we ask this in the name of Jesus. Amen. Now, I would like to begin by simply stating the conclusion that I've come to, that I will repeat again at the end. And here's the conclusion that I've come to from my time in this passage. As Christians, we can be encouraged by a promise that any step of faith we take that's rooted in the peace that we have with God through Jesus, and not according to our own selfishness, will result in our growth in reflecting God's character. So I think in the context of all scripture, it's important to point some things out. This passage before us outlines two very different natures, the heavenly nature and the demonic nature, or righteousness and sinfulness. And let's face it, we look at the words that describe heavenly nature here, and that's what we want, that's what we desire. By our faith in Christ, we have the Holy Spirit, we desire that. But at the end of the day, we are reminded that we are by nature sinful. Romans 3:23, for all have sinned and fallen short of the glory of God. So by nature, we possess these sinful characteristics of James 3. Now, if we receive by faith as a gift Jesus' death and resurrection for the punishment of our sin, we have a new life that we walk with Jesus on account of what he's done for us and paying for our sins. And we have the hope of this heavenly nature in James 3 growing in us, as the next verse in Romans 3, 24 out of 25 continues, and are justified by his grace as a gift through the redemption that is in Christ Jesus, whom God put forward as a propitiation by his blood to be received by faith. And further regarding the effect of Jesus's resurrection on us, Romans 6:4, we were buried therefore with him by baptism into death, in order that just as Christ was raised from the dead by the glory of the Father, we too might walk in newness of life. And as expanded upon in Romans 6-7, while we delight in God and his word, we so often find our old slave master, the flesh, the devil, the world, barking out orders at us to return to the trough of sin. And we grow as Christians, we are growing in awareness of the need we have to continuously come back to the word of God, to continuously take in the wisdom that we find in scripture, as we are doing this evening. So speaking of which, a passage like this, what we're doing tonight, James chapter 3, verses 13 to 18, like all passages of scripture, should serve to encourage us and to convict us, to correct us, to train us in righteousness, as we find in 2 Timothy 3. So let's take a closer look at some of the terms that we see in this passage related to wisdom from above and related to wisdom from below, or heavenly wisdom and demonic wisdom. I'm going to start with the demonic wisdom, wisdom that is not from above. And we begin by highlighting the terms that that we see in this passage of scripture. There's jealousy and there's selfish ambition. I want to take a bit of a closer look at these two terms. So jealousy in the Greek, in the original Greek, it's the word is zelos. And this word has meanings that include an envious and contentious rivalry. Really, this could mean to really want something that God has just not given us, so, something that very often belongs to someone else, or maybe even only belongs to God himself. There's also the word selfish ambition, which translates from actually only one word in the Greek, and the word is aretheia, which is defined as intrigue, faction, contention, strife. Not sure if you see a common word that we see in both definitions. It's the word contention. And it's the idea that we strive for a position that we just don't have, or that someone else has, or a position that, well, as I mentioned a few moments ago, belongs only to God himself. Now, other words that we see in this passage reflecting demonic wisdom, wisdom that's not from above: boasting, falsehood, earthly, unspiritual, demonic, disorder, vile practice. We also see words now reflecting heavenly wisdom, the wisdom that comes from above: good conduct, meekness, pure, peaceable, gentle, open to reason, full of mercy, good fruits, impartial, sincere, harvest of righteousness, those who make peace. And again, as Christians, as those who have put our faith in Jesus for the forgiveness of our sin, the Holy Spirit has put the desire in us to have these in increasing measure. And going back to the words that we're trying to get away from, the words we don't like, I wish to suggest that these words describing the wisdom from below, the demonic wisdom, really characterize the very foundation of sin. That is our fallen nature that puts self and creation in the place that only belongs to God, the Creator. And to appreciate this, it could actually help us to go back to the beginning, to the ground zero of sin in the Garden of Eden. And so I'm going to read a passage of scripture from Genesis, starting at chapter 3 and starting at the first verse going until verse 6. Genesis chapter 3, starting at verse 1, going to verse 6. He said to the woman, "Did God actually say, 'You shall not eat of any tree in the garden?'" And the woman said to the serpent, "We may eat of the fruit of the trees in the garden, but God said, 'You shall not eat of the fruit of the tree that is in the midst of the garden, neither shall you touch it, lest you die.' But the serpent said to the woman, 'You will not surely die, for God knows that when you eat of it, your eyes will be opened and you will be like God, knowing good and evil. So when the woman saw that the tree was good for food and that it was a delight to the eyes and that the tree was to be desired to make one wise, she took of its fruit and ate. And she also gave some to her husband who was with her, and he ate. Do you see the connection of this text from Genesis with what we're seeing tonight in the text from James? Do you see the heavenly wisdom and the demonic wisdom, the wisdom from above and the wisdom not from above? Let's take a moment to connect the two. Let's take a moment to connect what happened in the Garden of Eden with the heavenly and demonic wisdom as described in James. And we'll start with the first two terms we looked at, zelos, which is the Greek for jealousy, and erethia, selfish ambition, where we have this idea of contention. Now, do you see how Eve went from a very simple God said stand to one where she contended with God? See here how she contends with God by denying his point of view, namely, you shall not eat of this tree, and replacing it with her point of view, which was the tree was good for food, and it was a delight to the eyes, and the tree was to be desired to make one wise. Do you see the jealousy? Do you see the selfish ambition? Do you see the contention? In other words, God doesn't call the shots. I want to be God. My observations, my feelings, my desires will call the shots here. And that is demonic wisdom. God is not Lord. Self is Lord. And really, this is the root of all of our sin, that as Christians, we are being trained by God to resist in the power of the Holy Spirit. Let's quickly look at some of the other terms. And again, these are the terms from our selection in James chapter 3. Disorder. And we see disorder in the quote, did God actually say? In other words, questioning the authority and the accuracy of God and his word, changing the order of who is in authority. And then there's the word falsehood. We see falsehood, a very insidious falsehood, mind you, falsehood that is actually and deceptively combined with an element of truth, such as you will not surely die. And while it's true that Eve didn't die right away, she still received a death sentence, and not just a death sentence for her, but for all of us as her descendants. And for those who die in their sin, not simply a return to dust, but a second eternal death as well that we see in Revelation. Another couple falsehoods. Your eyes will be opened, and you will be like God, knowing good and evil. And while Eve's eyes were opened to see her nakedness and the evil result of her sin, consider that it actually led to spiritual blindness, such that neither Eve nor her descendants could see God face to face. So on the one hand, the eyes of mankind have been opened to what God never intended for us to see. And then on the other hand, we, as a result, don't see God himself. And this equality with God that the serpent talked about was never realized in the exact opposite. On the contrary, her judgment and banishment showed that no one seeking equality with God could ever remain in God's presence. A couple more words here. Unspiritual, earthly. When the serpent introduced the idea that God could be disobeyed, once again, a shift happened from humanity focusing on God and his word, who is spirit and the creator, to focusing on what we as humans see and feel in relation to the earth. In other words, what is earthly. Again, we see this focus in Eve. She saw that the tree was good for food and it was a delight to the eyes. And by the way, this is perfectly true. There's nothing wrong with fruit trees. And she's right. Fruit trees are good for food. And God actually gave her the ability to recognize that fruit trees were good for food. But again, she put this God-given recognition that a tree is good for food in the place of God himself. Or like Romans 1 says, worshipped and served the creature rather than the creator. In other words, worshiping what is earthly rather than the creator of the earth, rejecting the spiritual for the unspiritual. And on this note, again, you can trace any sin to this pattern. Any sin starts with rejecting what God said and focusing on the tree was good for food and a delight to the eyes. Take these words, take out tree, take out food, take out eyes, and fill in the blanks for any sin. Blank was good for blank and a delight to the blank. You see that? Now, let's take a brief look at the heavenly wisdom in this passage in the Garden of Eden. And by the way, it's a very brief look. Do you see it there in verse 3? It's only two words. God said. That's how simple heavenly wisdom was before the fall. God said. Now let's go back to James 3 and the description there of heavenly wisdom. And reading again at verse 17, James chapter 3, verse 17, but the wisdom from above is first pure, then peaceable, gentle, open to reason, full of mercy and good fruits, impartial and sincere. Take a look at each of these words. What do they really say? At their foundation, each of these words say, God said. Albeit not in the simplicity of the Garden of Eden before the fall. They are the God said for our walk with Christ in this fallen world. Do you see it? So starting with pure. Pure is the God said in response to what is perverse. Peaceable is the God said in response to conflict and acrimony. Gentle, which is the descriptive of a fruit of the Spirit in Galatians 5, is the God said in response to discord and rage, as it says in that same chapter in Galatians 5. Open to reason is the God said in response to confusion and dissension. Mercy is the God said in response to revenge. Impartial is the God said in response to favoring those who serve our selfish desires. Sincere is the God said in response to hypocrisy. And meekness in verse 13 is the God said in response to chaos and disorder. As Christians, the Holy Spirit gives us the desire for these to increase in us. We are continually reminded, however, that they are just not natural in our body of flesh. The key for us in times like this is to return to the Word of God, to take in the Word of God, and to accept what the Word of God says about us and against us, to confess, to agree with what God says about us and about himself and how we relate to him, and to agree with God's indictment against our flesh nature, as it says in verse 14, but if you have bitter jealousy and selfish ambition in your hearts, do not boast and be false to the truth. Isn't that a beautiful thing about being a Christian? The relationship we have with God doesn't depend on our performance or pretending to be something that we are not. 1 John 1:9, if we confess our sins, he is faithful and just to forgive us of our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. As God also promises in Philippians 1:6, that he who began a good work in you will bring it to completion at the day of Jesus Christ. And really, all we do as we read James chapter 3 or any other or any other similar verses is just simply agree that there's nothing we can do to save ourselves. God has done it in Jesus Christ, in his perfect life, in his sacrificial death, and in his glorious resurrection. And because of this relationship we have with him, God is working in us according to his promises. And speaking of his promises, here is the promise that ends this chapter in verse 18. And a harvest of righteousness is sown in peace by those who make peace. And the peace that we have, the peace that we make, always goes back to the peace that was made between us and God when Jesus took our sins on the cross. Romans 5:1. We have peace. We have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ. So I started off with my conclusion, and there here again is the conclusion to that I've come to in meditating on this selection of scripture. As Christians, we can be encouraged by a promise that any step of faith that we take, rooted in the peace that we have with God through Jesus, and not according to our selfishness, will result by God's promises, will result in our growth in reflecting God's character.